Good morning. Again, a welcome to all our guests this morning. We thank you for joining us. This morning, we are going to look at a text in which Jesus tells us, in his own words, what we are to do as believers. He also gives us the promise of help to do those things. The other things that he tells us is a great promise, is that we are in union with him. And because he has joined himself to us and all of mankind, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21, and I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth not him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall also live. And in that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That he that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Amen. Please be seated. Our text begins where we left off last week, in which Jesus told us, we will do great things. And if we ask in his name, things, all the things that we need will be given to us. Our text is a continuation of this conversation which he is having with his disciples. And he comes to tell us about what we are to do as believers. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We hear all the time, I love Jesus. I love him. We hear it from the church. We hear it from people. And yet, do we follow his commandments? In order to really understand whether we do this or not, we have to see what are his commandments to us. And he says this just before in the Gospel of John, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And then in Luke, talking to a lawyer, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered rightly, do so, and thou shalt live. Now this is the command that Jesus leaves us as his followers. We are to love God, and we are to love our neighbor. And we do, as I said, say this, and we hear it all the time. And yet, John tells us in his first letter this, and by this we will know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commands. The one who says, I have come to know him, or that I love him, and does not keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now this is where it really comes down to. Because you can say you love God, you can say you love Jesus, but if you don't love your neighbor, do you? This is the one that catches us. Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? When we see someone who's dressed in dirty rags, walking down the street, who doesn't happen to look like us, do we love them? Or do we judge them? When we see a youngster who is in trouble, who's gotten themselves in trouble, do we show them grace and mercy as we have been shown? Or do we put them down and condemn them? As for the person walking down the street, we act a lot of times like the religious people in the story of the Good Samaritan. We move to the other side of the street. As for the young people who got in trouble, we say it's their own fault. They'll have to just deal with it. And we do not have compassion. If we love those who deserve to be loved, are we any better than unbelievers? Jesus tells us that we are to love our neighbor. And yet, we often fail to do this. And in fact, we fail to love each other even as brothers and sisters in Christ. We can just look in the history of the church. We devour one another. We backbite. And we deride. This is not who we are supposed to be. This is not who God created us to be. And this is not the newness of life that we have been raised in Jesus Christ for. So how are we to do it? Jesus tells us that He's not going to leave us alone. He says in verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you." Now Jesus tells us that we don't have to do this alone. Because we've proven over and over and over again throughout the history of the church that in our flesh we can't do this alone. We have no ability. But now as believers we do have ability. We have a tremendous ability. He has sent us the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God, to live in us, to be with us each and every day. This means that God is with us, no matter where we are, no matter what we are doing. Not only that, He is active in our lives so that we can know the truth. Jesus brings this point out that we can know that we have power. A little later on we'll talk about how we kind of look at ourselves in certain ways. We look at ourselves as worthless. Would God deposit His Holy Spirit in creatures that were worthless? Absolutely not. Now He also tells us here that the world cannot receive the Spirit. And I think it's very interesting as you look at this, because you've heard me say that the Spirit was given as a gift to mankind. And I still believe that. The problem is they haven't received it yet, because they don't know about it. Because the only way that there's an ability to understand the Word of God, to understand what God has done for us, is by the witnessing of the Holy Spirit to our spirit. And so, we as believers who have been empowered by that Spirit are to go and to tell people that they too can receive that gift that they have been given. that we can show the ultimate act of love to our neighbor by telling them of the grace and the goodness that God has done, and that it is for them. And this shows the empowerment that we have. We are still in the season of Easter. We still celebrate the resurrection. And when you talk about the Holy Spirit as a witness to our spirit, we have to have that. Because in the flesh, is there any ability for us to come up with or understand how a dead man can be raised from the grave? It doesn't make sense to us. And yet, by the faith given to us in Jesus Christ, we are able to comprehend this. We are able to understand it, and we are able to proclaim it to the world. We are now His body here on earth. We are now empowered to carry out the ministry that Jesus Christ started when He was here bodily. That is our calling. To go out into the world and to spread the gospel. We are to love our neighbors. And it's very interesting when I talked about it earlier, but the story of the Good Samaritan. When Jesus tells of those things, the examples that He gives of the men who went to the opposite side of the road were the religious people. And the Samaritan was no good, rotten. And yet, He comes along and gives first aid, pays for His recovery at the inn. Jesus doesn't really give us a description of the man that he in this story, of who he is or what he's all about, that was robbed. He could be anyone. He could be anyone who is in need and in trouble. And it is the same today. We are to be like the no good, rotten Samaritan. We are to show compassion on anyone who is in need. As I was thinking about it this morning, as I was watching again the slides from the mission trip, this is what has been done through us. We have sent a mission team down with our prayers, our blessings, and our financial resources, that we would serve people that we don't even know. I was thinking about it as Lonnie was giving out names, and I'm going, you know what? None of these people know these names anyway. All they see is a picture of people in need. And that's all we have to see. We are empowered to serve them. Now some would say, well, it's not all that big a deal. You go down there and you build houses. I mean, do you spread the gospel? Do you tell anybody about Jesus? It's very interesting, and I'm going to give an example from 2 years ago. Because we went down and we helped to rebuild a house from the top down, which is backwards, but that's the way we had to do it because of the circumstances. For a family who really never went to church. They never really knew the love of Jesus Christ. And yet, these folks knew who we were, and we rebuilt their house. Really couldn't communicate. At the end of the trip, we gave them a Bible, blessed them, and we went home. And on Sunday morning when we were leaving outside of Oklahoma City, we got a telephone call from the Kinnanens that said this family has just went to the church for the first time and was singing hymns and praising God. Even without words, the gospel of Jesus Christ was proclaimed to those people because they knew who we were by the love we showed for one another and for them. You see, when you take care of someone, they understand love. Even if you're not able to speak the language. And this is what we are called to do. To love. To take care of. And to serve others. And then we get a promise. In verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more. But you will behold me. Because I live, you shall live also. This is one of the greatest promises we have by Jesus about His resurrection. Because He is alive, we too are also alive. The race of Adam has been raised in Jesus Christ to a new life. As I said, we were going to talk about how we look at ourselves. We sometimes look at ourselves as miserable, sinful creatures that aren't worth nothing. This is wrong. We are worth a lot. Worth so much that God would bring His only Son down to die for our sins. And now we have a new life in Him. One that is lived in power. We have a life that is hidden in Jesus Christ. As our scripture reading, it is where we have our being. And we are called to bring this message to the world. Not that they're worthless sinners, but that God has sent His Son to die for them. And they are loved by God Almighty. So they too can receive Jesus Christ is their Savior. And this is the place that we get worried. Well, we're going to go out into that world? Look at how much sin. Look at how much stuff they do to people. Those people are so evil out there. We are to have no fear of that world. That's absolutely ridiculous. And it shouldn't happen in Christianity. We can go into that world without fear or worrying, knowing that the One who has overcome death has also overcome the world. And this comes, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Think about that. What reason do we have to fear of the world? Is it sin? Sure shouldn't be. If we believe what we say we believe, Christ died for the sin of the world. Is it death? It sure shouldn't be. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and we with Him. That's what we say. Is it Satan? Satan has been overcome by Jesus Christ. He defeated him utterly when he was tempted by him. And we are now a part of him. We have no reason to fear the world. None whatsoever. That's a trick and a lie from Satan himself. We are to go out into the world and love them. This is the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. We no longer have to worry about what will overcome us. We are in the person of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that can separate us from His love. And so as His body, we go out into the world. And we show love, mercy, and grace. And proclaim the forgiveness of sins by His shed blood. And we remember who we are, as our next verse tells us, verse 20. In that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, you and you in me, and I in you. Think about that. In that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. We know that God and Jesus are one. There is no separation between the two. And Jesus tells us here that we are in Jesus Christ, which means we take part in the divine. We are partakers of God through Jesus Christ. Jesus has no problem with this. He calls us His body. We are the ones who now take upon or have been given His ministry here. We are not worthless worms. We are not evil. We are not people who have no value. God has deposited His Holy Spirit within us. We take part in the divine each and every day of our lives and have been raised in newness of life to go out and to love. We are the children of God. We are to love the other children of God. And we are to love those in the world. And we have the power to do it. A lot of times we need to be reminded of these facts. Because we start to look at ourselves in that kind of light. But this is who you are. You are a child of God. Raised to newness of life. You are part of Christ's body and have a calling to follow His commandments, to love God and to love your neighbor. Now, sometimes it's easy to go to Mexico. Because that takes two weeks out of your life. But how about loving your neighbor here? Where it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy. And you have to become active in that person's life. To serve them. And to show them the love of Jesus Christ. It's easy to love those who love us. But how about those who just need us? And in the end, Jesus says this, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." A verse that we can check ourselves with. He who loves me and keeps my commandments, or he who has my commandments and keeps them, he is it who loves me. This is the deal. Jesus really gave us two commands. All the rest of the law and all the rest of that stuff are summed up in those two commands, that we would love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. This is our calling. This is who we are to be as believers. Lovers of mankind, as Jesus Christ was a lover of mankind. Loved us so much that he sent his only begotten, or God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. He sent his Son to die for us. Are we willing to serve our neighbor and show God's love? In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you thanks that you have called us. Called us by your Son. And Father, that you have forgiven us through his blood shed upon that cross, and that our sins are washed away. We ask, Father, that you would help us by the power of that Holy Spirit that your Son promised us, that we would go forth and show love, show mercy, and show forgiveness as we have been shown. That, Father, we would truly rise up as your Son's body and do your will here on earth. Without worry about what the consequences are. But Father, rather keeping our eye on you and your Son, knowing that in the end, the victory is already ours. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.